How is Paul able to endure such suffering, affliction, and trial? How did he do it? Here's how. He knows his guaranteed future. Paul knows that as sure as the resurrection of Jesus himself, that Paul will also be raised with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light. I wanna shine like the stars in the heaven. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation. Cause all I want is to be in the light. Yeah. All I want is to be in the light.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. This is Shannon here in studio with Pastor Robbie, and we have a great message lined up for you today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 called Five Powerful Reasons Why We Don't Give Up. Hey, Christian, if you need some encouragement today, you are in the right place. Paul's life is full of trials for sure, but it's packed with encouragement and perseverance that we can look to on our walk with Jesus today. Hey, Robbie, I feel like it's so important that Christians understand perseverance.
I mean, one of the foremost themes of the New Testament, Shannon, which often people don't realize, the amount of real estate the Bible gives to perseverance and endurance is impressive, and it is immense. So we need to wake up, and we're not surprised right now that we have another passage where the Bible is what? Is predicting for us that life is difficult. Predicting for us trial is guaranteed, predicting and telling us, let's not be surprised when life is hard. I think how many of our listeners right now are going through difficult times? How much of my life in the last 12 months, and I'm anticipating, again, trials are part of the calling in Jesus Christ. Let us not be surprised by that, but now how do we bear fruit in it? And how can we let God do great things in our lives while we are in, again, places of struggle and not choosing to give up? So listener right now, loved one, just understand the Lord sees, he knows, he cares. Oh, he loves you so much. And just because life is difficult does not mean that he's not there. In fact, the Bible teaches us it means that we have the opportunity to sense his presence even more, to learn massive lessons of wisdom, and to actually bear fruit in ways we could not otherwise if life was, quote, comfortable and easy all the time. So this is we like to say around here, big boy Christianity, or this is big girl Christianity today, but God, we pray, is going to give great encouragement to you. Last thing I'll say, Shannon, before we get there, if you are listening right now and the Lord is working your life through this ministry, as always, we'd love to hear from you. Call us, email us, get in contact with us. Our team here is doing this because we want to see lives change for God's glory. So if that's you, let us know. It's such an encouragement. We pray that God is working in your life, blessing you right now. And even in this message today, you'll be specifically spoken to by the Holy Spirit of God. So Shannon, before I preach another sermon unto itself right now, how about we get to the actual message of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Awesome. Let's get our Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm excited for today and why. Really, our sermon title is this: Five Powerful Reasons Why We Don't Give Up. Five Powerful Reasons Why We Don't Give Up. That gets my attention, and I hope it gets your attention as well. This is one of the foremost goals of my entire life. Say, what is? To not give up. To not give up, to persevere, to endure for the things of Jesus Christ. It's everywhere in Scripture, and it needs to be everywhere upon our hearts. Today's a very important day. I'm so glad you're here again to hear this, because I think today's the concept of first principles. You're probably familiar with that concept. First principles is a way of thinking that means breaking something down to its most basic foundational truths, and then reasoning up from there. So first principles are essential for life and how we live, how we think, how we operate. And listen, this is what Paul's so good at. Paul's so good at the clarity of the priority of life. Really, it's a secret to how he's so fruitful as well. He is constantly reminding himself and others and living by first principles in Christ. And because he's so good at this, by God's grace and spirit, this is how he endures. This is how he perseveres. This is why he doesn't give up. See, because Paul is so strong at clarity and things like first principles within the Christian faith, then he's able to remove the distraction of things that don't help him, of things that don't matter,
of things that are empty, of things that are superficial, of the parts of life that are just taking him away from his true love for Christ. Paul's so good at clearing his desk, cutting out the things that are non-essential and focusing on that which is. See, so this is when his mind is renewed, and this is when what's in front of him is most important and life-changing. This is what we get to look at again today as we seek to conclude 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I suggest this to you today as well. And this is, I know this is kind of bold in saying this, but I believe if you take to heart the principles before you today, like if you sincerely, like one of the challenges today is you're going to see these principles of truth and you can agree even now, but it's how do you take it with you? Because you need it tomorrow and you need it Thursday and you need it next Sunday and you need it next month and next year and the rest of your life. Like somehow, this is what I try to do too. You got to think of these things again and again and every single day. That's how important they are. That's one of our prayers right now. And just like people of wisdom growing in Christ, if you focus on these principles on a day-to-day basis, you are guaranteed the power of God upon your life. You're not guaranteed easy. We always say that. You're not guaranteed it's going to be smooth all day, but you're guaranteed God. You are guaranteed to think along the lines of God and the wisdom of God, and you will know the power of God upon your life. The principles today have been a beacon of my spiritual life. They've been that which have guided me through the darkness again and again and have called me through the confusion of life. They've been my North Star when I was so tempted to pack it in so many times. This is my prayer again for me. This is my prayer for you as well. So in many ways today, through the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, wisdom is calling. The phone is for you. It's wisdom. And when you pick up the phone and say hello, then wisdom is going to give you a pathway of God's blessing, of God's favor, and how your life can honor him. All right, so big day today. You ready? You ready? Ready? I hope you're ready. I didn't hear anything there. So I'm just assuming I'm just assuming we're awake and ready to go. You've made it through the snow. Surely you're here for a reason right now too. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13, take a look. It says this, amazing text. Again, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Yes, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Verse 16. So this is why then we do not lose heart. And all God's people said, amen. Though our outer self is wasting away, amen. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Amen. Yeah, that's a good spot for that. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Awesome. Beyond all comparison. Incredible. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Why? For the things that are seen are transient, temporal, superficial, are empty. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Amen. Amen. So, five powerful reasons. We're going to, again, for the sake of time and stuff, we'll move through them fairly quickly. Five powerful, I didn't want to scare you saying five. You know, normally he has 3 points or 4 points or 5 points. You're looking at your watch right now. No, we'll get through these, I think, pretty quickly. Our first reason is this. Why do I not give up? Because I know I will be raised with Christ. I know I will be raised with Christ. It's a really, really good reason. Look at verse 13 to start. Since we have the same spirit of faith, he says, according to what has been written. Interesting. He starts quoting the psalmist in Psalm 116 here. I believed and so I spoke. He's like, we also believe. So we also have this faith and therefore we also will speak. So in this verse, what's happening in this verse, verse 13, despite Paul's sufferings, right? We all know he's been through so much, right? Unbelievable affliction. He's still filled with faith. In fact, what Paul does, he quotes here Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 10. In Psalm 116, the psalmist also is in the midst of suffering, like real hard suffering. His life is being threatened. That's the life of the psalmist. Death for the psalmist seems very imminent. But as death grows closer, the faith of the psalmist grows stronger. If you look at Psalm 116, the psalmist speaks of God's preservation. He speaks of God's grace. He speaks of God's deliverance from death. And this is where the psalmist says, I believed, and therefore I spoke. I believed, so I did not stop. I believed, therefore I took action. So notice this, faith and belief leads to, again, action. That's what faith does. Real faith, again, bears fruit. Real faith speaks. Real faith, again, looks like action through our lives. Real faith doesn't sit still and be dormant. Real faith is dynamic. So this now sheds light on why Paul quotes this verse. Paul is identifying with the suffering of the psalmist, and he's identifying with the faith of the psalmist as well. So what happens right now in verse 13, Paul finds himself in a long line of saints, listen, who persevered. Why? Because they believed. And that is massive for a Christian life of endurance and perseverance. We endure and we persevere because we believe. But now, here's a good question though. But believe in what, Robbie? Great. Verse 14, look, verse 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with him into his presence. So loved ones, pay attention right here, okay? First principles, so massively important. How is Paul able to endure such suffering, affliction, and trial? How did he do it? Here's how. He knows his guaranteed future. Paul knows that as sure as the resurrection of Jesus himself, that Paul will also be raised with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Paul understands this. He's participating in a competition or a game where the outcome is 100% certain and it's 100% in his favor. That changes how you participate in that competition. When you are in the midst of that game and you are competing and you are 100% certain that you win in the end, that changes how you do that. It's like when you watch a recorded sporting event of one of your favorite teams and you know they win. As you're watching, it doesn't matter how bad it gets in the middle. You know the outcome. So you're watching like this. Oh, yeah, this is good, right? Like you're so not stressed because you know the outcome is certain. How much more should believers in Jesus Christ, when we are guaranteed the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will not give up in Jesus Christ and we will persevere for Jesus Christ because we know the victory is certain, okay? Listen, this is Paul's secret. This is what he knows. This is what he says right here within this text. Just think. I love what it says there too. Raise the Lord Jesus, will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Paul is obsessed with glory and the reality of the resurrected body and the reality of no more sin and no more sorrow, and everything that groans will be made perfect in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a good thing to think on, loved ones. It is a good thing to think on the coming glory and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when Paul is low on encouragement fuel, this truth is his gas station, and it works really, really well. To think that one day soon, we will be brought as believers, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, one day soon we'll be brought into the presence of Jesus Christ. I want you to just think about that. It's coming soon. One day you will be brought into the very presence. I try to imagine this often. One day soon, loved ones, us, I'll just speak for me. I'm going to see Jesus. I try to imagine that moment where, Janice, that was so wonderful today. That was so wonderful. Yeah, we're just so thankful. All those who were baptized, it was so wonderful, so wonderful. My heart was so, so blessed by that. I'm so thankful. One day soon, my eyes are going to lock with the eyes of Jesus Christ. I try to imagine that moment. Like I'm going to see, he's going to look into my eyes and he's going to pierce me with love, like a love that I never thought possible. I'm going to embrace him. I'm going to hug him. Like that's going to happen. that is not like, oh, I wonder what, no, it's going to happen for everyone who belongs and loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, it melts me to think about that, because it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what happens on this earth. Anyone clap for them? Clap for that too. Amen. I would probably clap for that as well. That's good. That's good. It doesn't matter what trials we face, what suffering, what difficulties, what hardship, it's going to happen. Paul knows this. This is what allows him to keep going. This is why he does not give up, because in the end, Jesus Christ will be worth it, right? So this is where we gaze so we don't give up and we persevere, right? As opposed to so many, here's a quote by Ken Hughes on the screen, just by way of perspective. He says, for most Christians, the contemplation of retirement trumps the contemplation of their ultimate destiny. For most, eschatology is defined by a single word, retirement. Isn't that so true? For most people, even believers, their eschatology is the last 10 to 20 years of their lives where they can sit around and just whatever, enjoy self. That's a ridiculous theology. Far more energy and thought is given to enhancing health and wealth of the final 20 years of earthly existence than to eternal existence. Hugh says this, clearly we are called to focus on future resurrection exaltation if we have any desire to live as we ought. If we have any desire to live as we ought, we do not focus on here now. We focus on what will be, which makes us more effective in the present right now. Why do we not give up? I know I will be raised with Christ. Number two, why do I not give up? Well, it's that more lives will be changed for his glory. More lives will be changed for the glory of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15 now. It says, for it is all for your sake, that so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. What a beautiful verse this is too. Paul says here, listen, he's like, I'm willing to suffer and I'm willing to endure so that more people will receive the grace of God. He's like, it's worth it. In 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul says this, listen, he says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. You see what he says there? It's all worth it. If more people know Christ, if more people are saved from hell, if more people know the grace of Jesus Christ for eternal life in him, I will endure everything for that. That's how much he loves the Lord and loves the lost. I'm willing to sacrifice my life if others will be saved again for all of eternity. Notice Paul's motivation. I keep going because God's grace extends to more and more people through my life and ministry. And why too? Because every life that is saved, church, every life that is saved is a life now that gives thanks and glory to God. Like every baptism we heard, every single one was, before Christ, I was dead. But now in Christ, I'm alive. Now I'm giving thanks and my life is giving glory to God. And we're all like, wow, that's awesome. That's awesome, because that's what happens when God saves lives. So we are to be used to speak the message of Christ, to share the gospel, that more and more people will know Christ, and then God would get more glory as well. This is why we live life on mission. This is why right here, we are life on mission, to share the message of Christ so people are saved and their lives then give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see here too, this is profound to me and very important. One of Paul's main strategies of not giving up and not losing heart is pouring himself out for others. Do you see that? This is how, one of the main ways he doesn't give up, because his life is not about himself. It's interesting, in our world, the entire mindset is love yourself, feed yourself, rely on self. Pamper yourself. Just think about, you know, you being number one. But when you focus on self, that leads to misery and apathy. But notice here, when we seek first the kingdom, and specifically, we pour ourselves out for the blessing of others, what do we receive in return? The strength of God and the joy of God and the perseverance of God. Powerful, powerful truth. So you want to persevere, then you want to pour yourself into others with love and grace. Yesterday, I spoke at a young adults conference in Cambridge. It was by the Gospel Coalition. It was a real joy to be there and a real privilege to be there. And my text was Philippians chapter 1. And this is when Paul is wrestling with if I die, I depart and I be with Christ, and that's far better. But if I live, I live here for the fruitful labor among you. Like, I just love Paul. Like, Paul, he's such a blessing to me because he's having a conversation everyone can listen to. He's like, should I die? Should I live? Should I die? Should I live? He's like, well, I want to die because I'm with Christ. I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely. But if I live, then I preach the gospel. And he says, for the progress and joy of you all. That's a very healthy thought for me. Right? So we exist, we remain, he says, that others might be transformed in Jesus Christ. So hear me again. If you want to persevere and endure for Jesus Christ, do not live for yourself. Live for others. And that's a word for a lot of us right now, because it is better to give than to receive. And so we make it our mission to not be about ourselves, and we will find ourselves supernaturally encouraged and strengthened by the Lord Jesus Christ as he works in those who are about his kingdom. Very powerful strategy to not give up. So the strategy to endure is not sit by yourself and moan and self-pity and mope. No, it is to engage and to give to the kingdom. Reason number three why I don't give up. I'm supernaturally being renewed daily. Oh, yes. Verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Why? Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Well, this is one of my all-time favorite verses. Maybe some of you agree with that as well. So this just in, ready? This just in, we're aging. We're aging. The outer self that Paul's referring to here is the physical body. Notice he says, it is wasting away. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for reminding us. Yes. This is especially true for Paul, though, right? In all the violent affliction that he was enduring. Like, his body was physically and literally being beaten down. But all of our physical bodies, we know, are wasting away. Yes, our world obsesses with trying to prevent aging, but it cannot. It's a ridiculous pursuit of that. But in the end, listen, in the end, we know this. Every single body is slowly but surely breaking down until death. We all know that. Literally what this is, wasting away, it means we are slowly but surely decaying. I hate to be so blunt, but that's what's happening. We are all decaying. I used to be able to bend down without grunting. You know, like when I started this church, I was just a different physical person. Like it's, I used to be able to run without pulling a hamstring. Check that. I used to be able to run, right? young people right now, I just encourage you, just try to stay humble because your turn's coming. Okay. Like it is coming. Like I was where you were once too, and I'm not anymore. And, things are just going to get worse from here, but there's so much hope, right? Here's the extraordinary power. Though the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The inner self is the heart of the person in Jesus Christ. The believer in Jesus Christ has been born again, right? We have received new spiritual life. We are new creations, testified today through baptism. And this inner self, that is what is made new in Christ. This is the part of us that will never, ever die and one day be joined again to our new glorified, resurrected bodies as well. But until that time, listen, we are being made newer day by day. I've always loved this verse, and I've always loved to point out the only aspect of all of creation that is aging but actually becoming newer is the believer in Jesus Christ. Think about that. That's awesome theology, okay? Everything else is aging and dying. Every part of creation, all the vegetation, all the animals, whatever it is, right? And unbelievers, they are aging to death. They are not becoming newer. The only aspect in all of creation that is growing older but newer every single day is the genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a very, very encouraging truth. Overall, or outwardly, wasting away. Inwardly, getting closer to glory each day. And I love too, it says, and day by day. See that? So what does that say to us? That every single day, the comfort and grace of God meets us. Like so whether you feel like it or not, when you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, every single day, your soul, your inner self is advancing. It is advancing towards the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful, powerful, powerful truth. Some days you don't feel that way at all. I know, I get it. But the reality is, it is happening.
And when we see this and focus on this, then it gets us very, very excited. And this is why we don't lose heart, because we are supernaturally being renewed. Listen, if you want to lose heart, if you want to be depressed, then obsess over your external body. Okay? If you want to be depressed and you want to be miserable, then obsess over your physical body. If you want to persevere and you want to not lose heart, right? I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. I believe in that. I believe in that, you know, just to a degree. But if you want to have joy, if you want to be renewed, if you want to see God strengthen your life, then you focus on the fact that your inner self is being renewed day by day. Reason number four, we don't give up. My trials are preparing me for glory. My trials are preparing me for glory. Look at verse 17. It just keeps going. It's just amazing. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Paul says here, for this light momentary affliction. Again, this is where, like, first principles, I love Paul so much. Why? He sees so clearly. He's like, this light momentary affliction. Now, I would not call Paul's afflictions that we have learned about as light and momentary. But apparently he would. Again, I want to remind you and 2 Corinthians 1, he says these afflictions were so severe that he despaired of life itself. So I don't know about you, but that does not sound light and momentary. But again, look at what Paul does in verse 17, okay? His wisdom and strategy, right, is to not give up due to his afflictions, his severe afflictions. He's like, I will not give up in light of my afflictions, and we call them severe. How does he do that? How does he not give up, even though he is being stoned at times? He is receiving the 40 lashes minus one. That does not sound light and momentary. How does he do that when he is going through, again, forms of hunger and shipwrecks and sleepless nights and massive false accusation and so on and so forth? Just unbelievable. How does he do it? Here's how. Perspective. Perspective. I'm addicted to biblical perspective. It is so massively encouraging. What do you mean? Right in verse 7, in one verse, watch. In one verse, watch. Momentary versus eternal. The lightness of current trials versus the weight of glory that is coming. And then the affliction he experiences versus, again, the reality of the glory that is promised to him. This is Paul's power in his life. Momentary light affliction versus the reality of glory, which is carries the weight of then lasts for all of eternity. So that's all in just verse 17, by the way. You can just draw those parallels right there. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us for an eternal weight of glory that is beyond all comparison. Is that verse underlined in your Bible? You should do that. In fact, you should line out every verse in this passage today. They should all be there. Circle and highlight and asterisks and exclamation marks. I like exclamation marks. Have you figured that out yet? I love exclamation marks. And they deserve a bunch right here, again, within this text. So don't miss this, okay? Verse 17. This affliction, he says, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Learn, loved ones, learn. Ready? Affliction, suffering, hardship, trials are one of God's main tools of preparing us and shaping us for glory.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. I wanna-